Okay, good morning everybody. Trust that, well, I suppose most of the people that I'm going to speak to is going to be already meeting in homes. Yeah, I trust wherever you guys in the homes that you guys would have an awesome morning of, well, obviously chewing on the word, but just having fellowship and encourage one another, strengthening one another, and just be an awesome expression of Jesus and His church. But just before I want to get into the word, I actually, it's sometimes hard because of the way that we meet to see everybody at the same time. So I'm going to take this opportunity just to say a little bit about our giving at the moment. You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 9 that says, "Let each one give as he's determined in his heart." And I just want to make sure, you know, as each one of us would consider our hearts and what have we determined to give to God. If we are convinced that we should tithe, and we've determined to tithe and 10% of our income or whatever has come into us, then I want to ask you, I mean, it's a very simple exercise. Have you given what you've determined in your heart in regards to that? If you in some way feel like, well, I'm not under a tithe rule, I'm going to give as the Spirit leads me. Just want to say to you as well, remember the Bible doesn't say give as you just feel led by the Spirit or as you feel some sort of unction. Of course, that's part of the Christian space. But Paul says, let each one give as he is determined in our hearts. And I've many times seen that people have good intention and that they will give you know, as they would feel led and so on, but they would many times reflect at the end of the month and see that they have really come short in anything resembling New Testament giving. And so Paul doesn't say that. He says there's a determination in our heart of how much we will give, and then we stay true to that which we have determined to give. And if you then want to take other boundary or other parameter than the tithe, then I want to just remind you again, remember the new covenant require greater glory. So whatever you determine should at the very least then be at least the same as a tithe or then more. But then wherever we are, I would suppose that you've determined in your heart to give to God financially. And I want to just ask us that you would consider, have I been true to that which I have determined in my heart? If you've not, meaning you've lied to what you've determined and almost pledged or committed before God, then I want to ask that you would repent, you know, and just come again in line with that which you've determined to give to God. All right? We'll put, during the week, we'll just put again the details and all those type of things out. For you guys, if there's any questions in regards to that, please feel free to just ask the elders. All right, but anyway, now to the word of the day. So, you know, I just want to tell you guys just something that has happened with me in this past week, and I think it's quite relevant in that which God wants to do with us. As you guys have known, the word always for the season was, and I know Andrew has referred to that verse a number of times in Hebrews 12, that everything, God once again is shaking that which is in the heavens and that which is on the earth, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And what the verse basically says, everything that's not founded itself properly on God, no matter how well and how good it looks, will be shaken. And if it is not firmly on God, will prove to be, you know, that it's not an eternal building block and it's not eternal from God. And I know, you know, obviously at the end of the age, we would be shaken properly. And God will for once and for all bring to light that which is of Him and that which is not of Him. But as on the earth, you would see several occasions where God has come in the history of Israel, even before the history of Israel, in the history of the church, and God will come through various events and things and shake and bring to fore what really is in the heart of God's people. One of the classic examples for me was last year, as many of you would remember, that's part of us for a little while, would remember at the end of last year, there was a time that suddenly it seems like certain sins that was in our midst was just not okay anymore. There were certain things that was dragged with us, and then God came in a very real way and draw a line in the sand, say from here on and no longer. And some things came to the light, and God purified and cleansed us as a people, and we could get some of those stuff from us and out of us. As you know, we can, even as us as a congregation, can definitely testify of. And again, you know, it feels like there's a bit of a shaking. God is again taking things in our midst that seem to have an appearance that it's okay, or you wouldn't have seen that there's anything wrong, but God comes and he presses his finger on it. You know, when John the Baptist spoke of Jesus' ministry, he would say he's winnowing fork is in his hand, and what that would mean is farmers or whoever in those days that will work with hay that wanted to separate that which have substance, the wheat and the chaff, will take a fork and put it and throw it in the wind, and that which is like chaff will blow away, and that which has substance will remain. And even now, his winnowing fork is amongst us, and he's throwing stuff that might look similar, but the wind, the testing comes and show that which is light, that which is of worthless, and that which carries substance. And John continues and says the axe is at the root. He's coming and show at the very root what is the substance that we as his people are carrying. So a little while ago, me and Aku had actually not a very good week. We had an argument, and probably, to be honest, it's definitely my neglect initially that caused this argument. But it really was a week of a lot of conflict, and not a very nice week. And you know, I throughout the week asked God, you know, why is this happening? What am I doing wrong? You know, as most of you that would be in marriage would at some stage have cried out to God and saying, you know, what is going on? Why am I wrong? Or why is that one wrong? God, can't the other one just understand that type of thing? And we were very much in that. And you know, it took us a week almost to get out of it and just have fully peace and forgiven one another and just have understanding of it. But we reflected that time and just what has happened. But just as we came out that evening, Naku had a dream. It's about 2 weeks Friday. She had a dream, and in the dream, we were as a bunch of church people were at a resort and sort of type of thing, as I understood. And during this time, there was a man that seems a little bit out of place, and a child came and splashed water on him. And this man became very angry and violent, and it was clear he was not a good person that one wanted to harm and so on. And in this process, I stood up and wanted to take him on and attack him. But in the process of wanting to do that, I was looking for a weapon. And in the process of looking for a weapon, firstly, it took me quite a while to get to the weapon. But when I got finally to the weapon, it was clearly inferior to this person's weapon. And in the process of taking time and getting all those things ready, this evil person got to Naku, touched her behind her head, and brought a spell on her. And then she woke up. And I reflected on it. And one thing for me that I realized is, in some ways, I've definitely lost my sharpness before God. There was almost, you know, learn to do all the Christian things and say all the Christian things. But if I have to be honest with myself, there's a sharpness and a being watchful and being a person of prayer that was missing. And me that as the husband was not watchful and not at my place have actually allowed the enemy to get to knock. You know, pretty much as Adam and Eve when Adam was not in his place. And in that way having the enemy get away to Eve. Obviously I realize that there's a prayerlessness and a lack of seeking with God with me. Then exactly, almost to the hour, a week later, this Friday that was just passed, at the same time, just before dawn, just before we woke up, Narco again had a dream. And again, we were at a sort of a church retreat at a type of campsite. And as she was in a room, she could hear people chatting on the other side of the room. You know, there was a lot of people just discussing and chatting and all that type of things. And then she could see me and a bunch of other people, but me and Andrew came out, and I came into her room and I said to her, the point of everything that has been discussed is that we can either be foolish virgins or we can either be wise virgins. And again, I feel the message that God is speaking was again very, very clear. It is interesting, the story of the virgins is in Matthew 25, where Jesus speaks at the end of the times, when the ultimate testing of God will come, some will find themselves caught out. Now, it wasn't that the foolish virgins and the wise virgins looked in any way different. In fact, they walked the walk, they talked the talk. There was moments when they had was similar in the way that the lamp looked and all those type of things. But when the time of testing came with these virgins, it clearly showed what those people did in the times of God and who had times of God and who were those that was regularly in his presence and made their lamps full and had enough oil and those that didn't. And I think once again there's a shaking in our midst, and I think once again God is bringing to the fore, really, and bringing this question to us, not who is saying the right things, who's talking the right talks and all those things, but who carries in their lamps the oil, who carries in their hearts true relationship with God. Now, a very interesting story is in another story of shaking is in the nation of Israel's history. Now, probably the most severe shaking that they would ever got is when they were taken captive and being taken to Babylon. We would know famous stories of guys like Daniel that found themselves in Babylon, in a different nation, and how God used the Babylonians to destroy Israel, as they know, to destroy Jerusalem, and find themselves for 17 years in a different nation. And it is interesting in Jeremiah 2, which Jeremiah deals with a period before exile and the period after exile, and where he initially warns the people of Israel that there is a shaking on its way. There is a judgment of God on its way, and unless we repent, God's judgment is going to be on us, and we're going to expose for who and what we are. So I'm reading to you guys in Jeremiah 2, and I'm reading from verse 11. He says, "Has a nation changed God when they were no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Two, they've hewed for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." And so the first thing when God visited Israel and saw what's the state of Israel, these are the two things that he noticed amongst them. Firstly, they have no longer drank from the living water. They have no longer drank from Jesus. Now look, Israel looked as they looked in any way of the temple worship and the everyday life. You wouldn't have seen anything much different. But God knows in the very core, they substitute just going through the motions and doing the things that Jews did, or in our case, what Christians did. But in some ways, they've moved away from the living waters. And then the second thing is they have tried to hold water in cisterns, in buckets that has holes in them. And they've tried to contain the life of God in mere forms and outward practices. And it feels very much like that, you know. It feels like God is shaking our systems, our programs. But I want to say to you guys, you know, the problem is not that a system in itself is evil, or program in itself is evil, or even structure has become a bit of the word, that is evil. The problem with this is if these things start substituting true relationship with God and true relationship with others, if this starts becoming a mold that has the appearance of life or has the appearance of relationship with the Lord, but it doesn't. And so I want to say that the answer for structure, or as we would say it, or program, is not no structure, or is it not no program. That's not at all that we're proclaiming. But we are saying that these things have substituted genuine relationship with God and one another. And so unless we just go from a place where we were very programmed Christians and in a certain mold, but don't turn from that place to true intimacy and true relationship with God, we're still very much in the same position that Israel were when God judged them. You know, one of the things that in this last week or two that I've noticed is how many more people are carrying burdens. People feel weighed down. And I can see it definitely in my own life. I feel weighed down. But even as I see, speaking to many of us, there's a burdenness that almost have never been to this extent. It's almost, as I said, at the end of last year, God was purifying us of all impurities, all type of immoralities God has purified us as a church from. But it feels for me that now in this season, God is going and looking at anything that we are yoked with, anything that we are trying to do in our own strength, or trying to do from our own position, that is not from a place of relationship or not at a place of dependency of God. And yokes that we could kind of get away with, it's just now becoming impossible to carry. It's almost that God is forcing us, that all that are heavy laden, all that are heavy burdened, come to me and take on my yoke, which is light and easy. And one of the things that really reminded me of this is really the story of Mary and Martha. Now, of course, I know we all know it very well. But it is interesting as I consider it in this week again that obviously Martha was seeing definite practical needs all around her. And as Christians, of course, we have responsibility of everyday life, you know. We are not called to just, you know, throw away all responsibility. Of course, we need to take responsibility of certain practical things around us in our lives. But it is when Jesus spoke to Martha, after she says to Jesus, Jesus spoke to, speak to Mary, tell her that she needs to do more, that Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are concerned with many things. And so Jesus is saying there are issues, there are practical issues in our lives. And he says, Mary, but you've allowed for these things to become concerns on your life. And right now, Martha, you are carrying so many concerns that is weighing you down. And your strategy in how you want to face life is just to go out and kill as many concerns as possible. But really the opposite is happening. You're just getting showered and showered with more concerns. And he says Mary has chose the better part. It's not that Mary is not doing anything. But Mary's chose a life where she's above any other concern, chose the feet of Jesus, chose relationship with Jesus. And it's almost this battle in our lives, I found, that concerns and the feet of Jesus is a tugging at our hearts all the time. It's this Mary and Martha battle, this tugging at our hearts all the time. Who's going to take hold of our heart the most, concerns or the feet of Jesus? It's a battle in the heart. It's not a battle of practice. It's a battle of the heart. Who is going to contend for our heart? I want to ask you. It's a very simple activity to do. See, if you have to consider your heart right now, what is at the forefront? Is it concerns? Are your mind racing from one concern to another? Or your heart at a place that it is constantly seeking that which is of greater value? The feet of Jesus. I quickly just want to... Yeah, it's this is what I want to say. You know, it's interesting. I've always said that whenever there's a worry, and I still hold on to that, whenever there's a worry in our lives or a concern in our lives, it is a sign that in some area we're not trusting God, you know, which I still would say, you know, worry obviously is in some way that we've taken responsibility of stuff and we don't have the ability to give it to God. But in this last while, I feel like it is not merely that it is a place of not having enough trust in God, which it definitely is. But I think and concern has the danger of becoming an idol in our lives as well. And really what it is showing more than anything, we've allowed a concern to take up a higher place in our heart than the feet of Jesus. And many of these things now, we are giving more space to our heart and our minds than the feet of Jesus. Can I ask, you know, I'm with us here, that we would repent of this thing, repent of idols in our heart, repent of things that is occupying more of our minds, more of our hearts, has become concerns that as a Mary is consuming us. And even as a Martha, sorry. And I you know, and even as Martha, and this is a good tester, even as Martha has looked to Mary and said to Jesus, Jesus, she's doing nothing. Tell her to do more. And even if there is in some of our hearts, as a Martha, comes certain judgment towards other people and saying, there's only I'm doing something, only I'm serving, you guys are doing nothing. All of those things that we will be willing, you know, to lay those judgments and lay those concerns down as Marthas and chose the better part again as a Mary. You know, I want to read you guys this verse that I think is just so applicable for it. It's Isaiah. It's in Isaiah 55. And verse 1 to 3. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. It's interesting again, you know, there's this two breads that's being represented to us. It's the temporal bread, the things of this earth, the things that we need, and then there's obviously the life that comes from God. Again, you know, even as we give ourselves, of course we need to eat. I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't eat, but there is a heart space and a mind space and a thing that drives us that Isaiah is speaking, what God is speaking through Isaiah here. Are we being driven by being satisfied by the Lord, by the water that comes from Him, by the food that comes from Him that satisfies for eternity? Or are we running after all the concerns of daily life that's occupying and consuming us? I want to end off with this, and I was reminded of this a day or two ago, and it's so basic, but it's just again so true. Jesus died on a cross. Jesus, the Father, for His Son Jesus, made the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. And it is clear what He values. It is clear what is of high importance for Him. I mean, if you would right now value what is of importance for you, right? How important is a salary? How important is where you live? How important is your careers, your dreams, all of those things, right? There is, and how much does it occupy in your mind? And one of the things, how you would look at how important it is, how much are you willing to sacrifice for that thing to come about, right? It's interesting when the Father shows how desperate He is, how much He is willing to sacrifice and to give so that His presence can be made available for us. It is quite clear how important it is. It's interesting that Jesus has not died for us that we would have a certain salary. Jesus didn't die for us that we will have a certain amount of friends. Jesus didn't die even for us that we will have a certain career or even a certain calling. I know if we would look right now in priority list, you know, how much do these things dwell in our minds and dwell in our hearts? But the one thing that is clear above all, the thing that Jesus sacrificed, that He's paid the ultimate price and showed the commitment that this is of highest priority. I have made my people for this, that they can enjoy my presence. Just thinking now for you, has that thing shifted further and further and further to the back? And as a Martha thinking, Jesus, but can I just first sort out this concern and just this concern? And what if this thing and this thing? And subtly, the very thing that the Father has sent His Son and died for has moved more and more and more and more to the back. So guys, I think God is speaking to us. I think that He's calling us back to this place that we will not be found out as foolish virgins, but as wise virgins, right? And that we will make sure that that's the place where we find ourselves, is at the feet of Jesus. So I want to pray for us now, but before I pray, I mean, it will be good for you guys to maybe just consider it even in your small groups and wherever you are. But I want to ask, you know, just speaking to some of us, just being before God, I think in some ways, you know, there is a need for prayer. There's a need for connection with God. And we've called, and I've seen that there's pockets of prayer jumping up all over the congregation. And there was this week, again in the early mornings, some prayer meetings. But I felt, and I've spoken to the elders, and as the elders, we thought it well that this Wednesday coming, that since we do not have community, and for most of you, will have time open, that we will all, we all will gather. If you usually do still continue together as a community, I want you to cancel it for this coming Wednesday. And all of us will gather at SCAS together, that we can pray together and see God together and make sure that every concern and every yoke that we have been carrying that's not from Him is finally released to Him. And that there's a culture amongst us that we are those that chose as Mary the better part and not our people that consumed with many concerns. So let me pray. Jesus, you know, we are so often, so quickly lose perspective. And so often the things that is of lesser value and of lesser importance comes to the forefront of our hearts and our minds. Before we know it, Jesus, we are a people that carrying yokes and carrying burdens and carrying concerns, Lord, and takes priority in our hearts and our minds and our time that is really of very little importance. And in that way, neglecting that which is really, really important. Hoe lang het ek gepraat?
33 minute.
Ok, ja, well, dit is cool. So wanneer het dit gestop?
Soos nou net hier begin ek wat het.
Ok. Ok, but that's fine.